12th chapter of Matthew. We're going to start reading in verse number 38. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. Thank you so much tonight, Father, for these scriptures we've read. And once again, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom. And I ask you, God, to use this message to your glory. Help me, Lord, as I preach it. And Lord, pray for Pastor Jerry tonight as he's preaching. God, watch over him, help him, empower him, and use him. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to go to the book of Jonah, so if you would like to find that book in your Bible, we're going to go over there in just a few moments. The Lord Jesus said in verse number 41 that the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. He said that they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And of course, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Son of God was here, and people were not repenting, people were not listening, and as they did in the day of Nineveh, the day that Jonah preached the Bible, the Word of God, and so many got saved. Whole town, whole city repented. I'm always concerned, as you know, if you've been around here for a while, you know I'm always concerned about America and the need for revival in America. I'm concerned about that, and I think it's a shame that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have his book, we have the wonderful Word of God, we have all of those things, and yet America is just absolutely going downhill. Just absolutely just going, getting worse and worse and worse and worse all the time. It was interesting to read the other day. I'd never give it a lot of thought, but it's been 90 years since America has had what were called a full-fledged revival. Now, I didn't say that there wasn't revivals here and there, but I'm talking about revival in the country. 90 years, we haven't seen it. Oh, we've seen great things happen. We've seen wonderful things. And I think most of you understand that when you see revival, you see God taking over. You see God moving. The Holy Spirit of God moves upon a nation, upon a community, and has his will in the lives of those in that community and in that nation. We have not seen a nationwide revival for many, many, many years. As I said, we've seen things happen. Some of them have been good. Some of them has not been good. But anyway, we've seen things happen. But I'm always concerned. I believe we need to see great revival. Great revival in America. I believe that with all of my heart. I don't believe, as I told you this morning, I don't believe that we have 75% of Americans that are saved and on their way to heaven. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for one moment. You may believe that. I don't believe that. I believe there's multitudes out there that are lost, and they need to be born again, need to be saved. So what's it going to take? What's it going to take for God to be able to do what needs to be done in America? Well, I'm going to use Jonah tonight, and of course, I think all of you are quite familiar with the story of Jonah. You remember how that he was a man of God. He was instructed by the Lord to go and preach the Word of God. And instead of going and doing that, of course, he went down and took a ship going to Tarsus. And instead of going to Nineveh, he decided to go the opposite direction. Went down in the center of the ship or the belly of the ship. And of course, there went to sleep. A shipmaster had to come and wake him up, a shipmaster that was lost, that knew not God, had to come down in the middle of the belly of the ship and wake up a man of God. and get him to pray to his God. And of course, we know the story, how God sent a great wind and a great tempest came upon the sea, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, and how that it was about ready to sink. The ship was about ready to sink, and they didn't know what to do, and so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. They said, he's the reason, he's the purpose of why God sent this great wind. And of course, they began to ask him some questions. We're not preaching on that tonight because we're going to start in chapter 2, but he began to ask him some questions about him. And finally, they just asked him, what are we going to do with you? What are we going to do? How are we going to stop this great wind? And he said, the only thing you can do is take me up and throw me over. And that's exactly what they did. And they threw him over and the winds ceased. He was a disobedient man of God. I've just got a feeling in my heart there's a lot of Jonahs running around the country today. Now, I'm not just talking about preachers. I am talking about preachers, but I'm also talking about individuals, talking about individual Christians that are Jonahs, that has run absolutely contrary to where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to be doing, and because of that, a nation is perishing. I've told you time and time again, I believe the problem in America is not the sinner. I believe the problem in America is the Christian. I believe that's where the problem is. We are not getting the job done. We as God's people are not getting it done. I'm not just talking about going out there and seeing multitudes and multitudes bow their head and say a prayer. I'm talking about getting real conversions. We're not getting the job done. And we need to get the job done. We need to get it done. And so we find a lot of Jonahs that's got busy somewhere else, doing something else. And again, I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about Jonahs. I'm talking about individual Christians that are so caught up in the things of this world that they're absolutely not doing what God wants them to do, doing the work of God as day goes by, as week goes by, just doing the work of God, not just letting Sunday become the day when you do something for God. Living for God is an everyday business. Just every single day of our life. That's the way it's supposed to be. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look and see what happened. What happened to Jonah? What did he do? How did he get back right with God? Well, we know we find him in the belly of a fish. He started out in the belly of a ship, and it wasn't long he ended up in the belly of a fish down in the very depths of the ocean. Now, what happened to him? What happened to him to get him to come back to God? Well, let me say to you, it took great affliction upon his life, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but it took great affliction upon his life for him to be able to realize his condition and begin to cry out to God. Now, if you'll notice in verse number 1 of chapter 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. It was there in the fish's belly that Jonah finally realized he better get serious with God. I'm just going to take a few moments and just mention the fact we've preached a lot on prayer. Prayer is one of those things that's absolutely necessary for us individually to get right with God and for God to do something in our nation. We must be a praying people. But Jonah got serious about prayer. And I would say to you that I don't know your condition. I don't know your habits of life. But you might ask yourself, are you serious about prayer? Is prayer a part of your life? And is it a very, very important part of your life? And let me say to you, there's places that God can put us that will cause us to realize that prayer is very important. And he did that to Jonah. He put him in the belly of a fish. Now, if you notice also in verse number 2, the Bible says, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now, the Bible talks about that he wasn't just silently praying, he was crying out unto the Lord. And if you'll notice, he was crying out because of his affliction. And I really wonder, what it is going to take for God to have to do to get us to get serious with God Almighty. I don't know what that is. I'm not a prophet. I don't know what that is. But I know this. God uses the same principles. And somewhere along the line, he's got to get his church to get serious about God, about him. And God has ways of doing that. God can do that. He can bring us to all kinds of affliction. And if you notice, he was afflicted enough that he began to not only pray, but he began to cry out. I mean, he cried out unto the Lord because of his affliction. Now, I'm not up here preaching to you that everybody that's outside of the will of God, God's going to come down and put them in a belly of a wet fish. I'm really not doing that. I'm simply saying to you that God has his way in every person's life, though, if we are not serious about the Lord, if we're backslidden away from God, not serious about his business, he has a way of placing afflictions in our way so we'll get serious. And God can do that, and God should do that. He has the right to do that. Amen? So we need to understand that. Not only that, in verse number 7, the Bible says, in verse number 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. If you notice again, the Bible says that when his soul almost fainted, is that what it's going to take for the Christians of America, we Christians of America, is that what it's going to take for us to be in such a time of affliction where our soul almost fainted before we remember God? See, we are such anemic, and I'm saying this honestly, I'm including Pastor Ross. We have such an anemic Christianity today. We're nothing compared to what it was in the book of Acts. We don't see the fervor and the fire of God in our lives as it was in the book of Acts, and God intended for that to be there and for that to remain. We've got an easy does it Christianity. Believe me, that's where we are. And we kind of like it that way. Doesn't put too much pressure on us. So again, it's time that we remember the Lord. And again, God can put afflictions in our life, cause our soul to almost faint, so we'll remember him. It's time that we realize and understand that this thing is all about serving God. That's what life is all about. Life is not about making money. Life is about serving God Almighty and getting his work done. Now, you will make money in the process. You will do things in the process. You have to do those things. That's part of it. But the priority of life is not that. The priority of life is remembering God and putting God first. As I mentioned, I think, this morning, at the end of our life, it isn't going to matter. Those things are not going to matter, how much money you made, what you did, what position in life that you had, how smart you were. All of those things are not going to matter. It's whether you're rich toward God that's going to matter throughout the ages of eternity. And that's why a preacher keeps preaching. That's why a preacher keeps telling his people those things. So I encourage you to love God, walk with God, serve God, do what is right, so that one of these days when you face God, you'll have some riches laid up there in heaven. Not down here, but up there. Amen. And we need to understand it. So Jonah got into a place where he was afflicted, and then all at once he remembered the Lord. Now, once again, if you'll notice in verse number 7, he said this. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, unto thy holy temple. Now, I know that he wasn't specifically talking about the local church, but let me say to you, when a person remembers the Lord, all at once the church becomes important in his life. The church is ordained of God. Jesus Christ founded the local church, and the local church is a place where God gets his work done. That's the way he does it. He doesn't do it through other organizations. He doesn't do it through clubs. He does it through the local church. And you get afflicted enough, and you realize, you begin to cry out to God, and you begin to remember the Lord, you'll remember that the church is a very, very important place. Now, you know, preacher preaches this. You don't get saved by the church. You get saved by Jesus Christ. But I also know it's the church, the local church that God has put here, and He ordains it to do the work of God together as a group of people together, gathered in a place to do the work of God. And I believe with all my heart we need a stirring at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to the importance of the local church. I think we need some sacrifice around here. I'm not just talking about monetarily. I'm talking about sacrifice of our lives for the local church. Where else are you going to go and do the work of God except you do it through the local church? You may go out individually and do it, but it's because you've come together, heard the Word of God preached, and you're working through the local church. That's how God blesses. And He brings people into the house of God to hear the Word of God preached and taught, and He does His work through the local church. Amen? So I'm simply saying to you, it's time we get a realization and understanding how important the local church is, and quit making it second place. Amen? You ought to be here every time the doors are open. No sense in you being not here when the doors are open, the Word of God is preached. There's no sense whatsoever you not being here. Amen. Amen. No sense whatsoever. You ought to be. The church ought to be important to you. You put the church first and make it important to you. You realize when your kids grow up, your family, they'll do the same thing. They'll realize that it is important. Amen. So he realized, as he said, "My prayer came into thee, into thy holy temple." I'm saying in time, we need a time of revival, making the local church important. Amen. It ought to be an important part of our life, you see. That's where our life ought to center around and go out from here and serve God, you see, together. Then also, he said in verse number 9, he says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." If you'll notice there that Jonah said, "I'm willing to sacrifice." And if you notice what he said, "I'm going to sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving." Folks, when we get our hearts right, because this is exactly what Jonah did. Jonah got his heart right with God. He repented and got his heart right with God, and all at once he became a thankful Christian. Now, you've got to remember something, folks. He was thankful down there in the fish's belly. He became a thankful Christian. I do not know. I have some ideas of what he told God he would do. I think we can see that by the text and all of this. But I want to tell you something. He vowed some things. Because if you notice in verse 9, he says, "I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." In other words, he had promised God some things. And I believe in the bottom of the ocean and in the belly of the whale, he told God, "You let me out of here and I'll go preach in Nineveh." I think that's what he said. Now, he may have said a whole lot of other things too, but I think that was included. "I'll go do what you said for me to do." Now, there's folk who just need to go do what you said you would do. Amen? You see, I see people, I see Christians, I'm not mad at them, but I see Christians drawing back. They used to do a lot for God, and all at once they're drawing back, and they just kind of sit back and look around. They've got all kinds of talents. God could use them tremendously. They've got certain talents, and God wants to use them, but they're just sitting back, and they just draw farther and farther back and just look around as though, one of these days something will come along that I might do. You ought to do anything that comes up. There's needs in this church. There's needs in the work of God. You ought to do it. Amen. You ought to just do it. Isn't that right? Amen. Is this God's work or not? Amen. You see, a lot of people tell me, say, "We've got a good church here." I don't know whether we've got a good church here or not. I really don't know whether we've got a good church here or not. All I know is this: we've got to get busy or we're not going to have a good church here. There's a law over Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I talk about getting out there and building and doing things out there, and it gets so quiet you could hear a pin drop. People ought to be saying, "Amen, Brother Ross, I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there next Saturday. I'll come out and help you. We'll get that thing done." That's what we ought to hear, but we don't hear that. We see it just get so quiet. No excitement about working for God. Come on, folks. Blessed Hope Baptist Church is not going to be like it ought to be if we don't get busy. And you see, and that doesn't happen with just this. It happens in here. You see, when you get a heart right, you get that heart right, you don't have to worry about the hands. You won't have to worry about the feet. You won't have to worry about the pocketbook. You get a heart right, and I'll guarantee you the rest will follow right along. Amen. So what do we need? Well, we need some people that will repent like Jonah did and say, I'm going to vow some vows. I'm just going to get busy. I don't care what anybody else does. Don't make any difference what so-and-so does. If they don't come, that's all right. But I'm going to get busy. Amen. I'm just going to do it. Amen. You see, I've tried to do that for years. And there's other people in this church that's tried to do that same thing. They've just done it. No matter what happens, they just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Because it needs to be done, they just do it. And they keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Amen. They've done it for years and they're just going to keep doing it. That's the way it should be. Amen. Younger generation, step up to the plate and get it going. Amen. I don't want to hear talk, I want to see walk. Amen. We just need to get going and get the work done. Didn't just building a building out there. We're talking about boys and girls coming into the house of God to be taught about Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line. Amen. And we ought to love those boys and girls enough to just get the job done. Amen. So Jonah, he said, I'll sacrifice. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'll pay my vows. I'll do whatever needs to be done. I'll just do it. You see, he wanted out of that fish's belly. He'd say he'd had enough. And I just say to you, I don't know what God will do, but you know, God is good to us and God loves us. But if we fail to serve him, don't be surprised at some afflictions that come. Don't be surprised when afflictions come. I'm not telling you what God will do. I don't know what God will do. That's his business. I'm just saying don't be surprised that afflictions come when we fail to serve God like we ought to serve him. Then we find that also then, after he repented, what a marvelous thing it is. God gave him another chance. Second chance. And God told him, if you'll notice in verse number 1, in chapter 3, he says, and the words of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Very same instruction he'd give him the first time. Very same instruction. Said, I've got. He told them there was wickedness in Nineveh. It needed to be preached to in Nineveh. And he gave him the very same instructions the second time. He gave him a second chance. But now listen. He didn't give him that second chance until he repented over the first one. When there's true repentance, and saying, God, I'm wrong. I'm down here in the belly of a fish. I'm in affliction. I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to look to you. I'm going to cry to you. I'm going to keep my vows. God said, okay, then I'll give you this second chance. Now, I know we preach this. I believe that. I'm grateful for the second chance. I'm grateful that God is a God of the second chance. And in fact, a lot of times the third chance and the fourth chance. And you could go on and on and on. I'm thankful for that. But I want to say something to you. There's also some things that he requires of us. And that's getting right about the first chance. And the second chance. And the third chance. That's getting it forgiven and repentance. And yes, God then is a wonderful God who's willing to always give us another chance. Amen. So we find that old Jonah here had a second chance. He went. He called him to preach. And he went to preach to those in Nineveh the wonderful word of God, the word that God had given him to preach. And I want you to notice another thing is this. I'll read the verse of Scripture to you, verse 3 and 4 in chapter 3. So Jonah rose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of these days' journey, 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I want to tell you, he wasted no time doing that which God had told him to do. Now you've heard that preached, you understand that. Listen, you know what he realized? The time was urgent. There was no time to waste. Now, I want to say something to you. I believe with all my heart, the time is urgent. There's no time to waste. I do believe Jesus is coming back. No, I believe that. I don't just talk about it. I believe that. I live with that all the time, that Jesus is soon to come. The time is urgent. And he realized he had no time to waste. He needed to get into that city and begin to preach the word of God to them. We don't have any time to waste. If you look at the churches of America and you look at the condition of America, you'll understand it's urgent that we get the word of God out. You look at our own community around these small little towns in this community, and you'll understand it's urgent that we get the gospel out and get people saved. What if Jesus would come today? What had we gotten done? How much work did we get done for the glory of God? Amen? So I'm saying it's urgent times. There ought to be an urgency about it, not a just a so what attitude. We ought to realize we've got to get it done. We've got to get into Jasonville and Linton and all these other towns around us. We've got to get into these towns, and we've got to get the gospel preached. Amen? We've got to get the job done. Amen? So Jonah realized that, and he rushed and went into the city to do that which God had told him. And I want you to notice also what it was that he preached on. He preached on judgment. Look at verse number 4. He said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." He said, judgment is coming in 40 days. Now, I can't tell you that judgment's coming in 40 days. I can't tell you that. But I can sure tell you judgment's coming. Amen. And I can preach that because it's right. It's correct. I think we're already seeing it. If you'd look around America and see what's going on around America, I think you would really understand that God is already doing some judging of America. You look at all that's going on across the world, and God is getting ready for that tribulation period. The rapture could happen anytime. I don't know when it'll happen, but it could happen anytime. And we need to preach judgment. The judgment is coming. Amen. So it's time for us to get busy and preach that and believe it ourselves. So Jonah went into this great city and began to preach judgment. He said, 40 days. This city is going to be destroyed. God had given him that. He knew exactly when it was going to be destroyed. I don't know what God's going to do in the next 40 days, but I know this judgment could come tomorrow. Jesus could come tomorrow. And you talk about judgment at the tribulation period, I'll guarantee you that's horrible judgment. Amen? So again, I'm saying to you what he did was he went, he minded God, and he preached judgment. Then if you'll notice, in verse number 5, he said, "The waters compassed me about, even to the, in verse number 5, chapter 3, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them." If you notice that the people of Nineveh believed God. And I tell you why they believed God. I believe it was because of Holy Spirit conviction over sin. Or they had never done it. If there's ever a time in America that we need Holy Spirit conviction over sin, it's now. Went into a, I may have told you about it, but went into a hospital room not very long ago and talked to this lady about her salvation. It was one of the most sweetest things I'd ever seen. And I began to explain salvation, explain the judgment of God and what God was going to do. She began to cry out. She says, "I do not want to go to hell." And she began to cry. "I don't want to go to hell." And I said, "I've got good news for you. You don't." And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But after she accepted Christ as her personal Savior, She said to me, "Oh, it was so wonderful of Jesus to die for me so that I would not have to go to hell." And what I'm saying is this, there was Holy Spirit conviction upon her life. And I went into many other hospital rooms and talked to people where there's no conviction whatsoever. Sin didn't mean anything to them. "Well, yeah, I guess I'm a sinner." That's not Holy Spirit conviction. No way. You see, when the Holy Spirit of God convicts a person of sin, they understand they're a sinner in the eyes of God. They may not understand the depth of it. They may not understand all of those things, but they understand the reason they need to be saved is because they're a sinner. And we need to see some Holy Spirit conviction in people's lives. We need to see, like Nineveh, a city that fell down in sackcloth and ashes, and repented toward God Almighty. Amen? I'm simply saying to you folks, we need old-fashioned Holy Spirit conviction upon people's lives where they'll get saved, come to Christ, and God will save any person that'll do that. So again, I simply say to you, they believed God. They believed God. Why? Because Jonah went, he repented himself, he went into that city and began to preach the judgment of God, and they believed God. God moved upon that city, and they received the Lord and believed upon the Lord and repented, sackcloth and ashes, and turned their lives around and began to serve God, began to love the Lord. I'm simply saying to you folks, we need that in Jacksonville. I think we need old-fashioned Holy Spirit revival in our churches. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we need God to stir us to an excitement about what God is doing and wants to do in people's lives in this community. So what we see here is God doing some wonderful things. I'm not going to go through these things. You've read them in the Bible, but I'll just name them. God prepared some things for Jonah. You've all probably heard those, but let me name them. One in chapter 1, verse 4, he prepared, the Bible says, a great wind. God prepared that. A great wind. Not only that, he prepared a great fish. Not only that, he prepared a great gourd that came and shaded Jonah. And then he prepared a little worm that destroyed the gourd. Then another thing he repaired was an east wind that blew to the fact where Jonah was so hot and he wanting to get out of that east wind that God prepared for him. What I'm saying to you is God prepares things in the lives of every individual to stir them to do the will of God. And not another thing is this, just because there's something there ready to take us away from God does not mean it's godly. Just because that ship happened to be there. I can hear many of them today. Well, they went down to the docks and there was a ship. Surely must have been of God. This thing must be of God. There was a ship down there and I just got on it. That's what a lot of Christians are doing today. Well, this happened. Surely must be of God, you know. Not even knowing the will of God for their life. I'm simply saying it's a dangerous thing to make decisions outside of the will of God. Very dangerous. So again, we need to learn those lessons. We as God's people need to realize there's a work to be done, folks. Right here in Jacksonville, Indiana, I can't help anybody else. I can't go across the nation and try to run their churches and all this. All I can do is tell you that in Jacksonville, Indiana, we've got a work to do. And we've got to get it done. There's people here we're going to be responsible for. So don't sit back and do nothing. Step to the plate, pick up your bat, and get ready to play ball. Get ready to do right. Amen? So let's do it. Why? Because souls are worth it. Amen? Souls of men are worth it, and we've got to get the job done. Amen? So what happens? Well, we need to repent like Jonah did. If that's where we're at, and we're not doing what God wants us to do, we're not even being a part of the work of God, we need to repent. We're down in Tarsus instead of being in Nineveh, we need to repent. Amen? And then what can God do? Well, then God can help us. Amen? God can help us and use us for the glory of God. All right, let's pray. Father, again, I want to thank you today for your goodness and your kindness and your grace, and thank you for who you are and how great you are and how wonderful you are. And Father, help us stir our hearts. There's a great work to be done here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There's so much more to be accomplished, Lord, and we need to do it for your glory. And we just need to be busy about it. So I just pray you help us do the will of God. In Jesus' name, amen.